Okay, this is Chairman Nathan Wakefield calling the meeting to order at 6:39 p.m. Eastern Time. We transition to roll call. Present. Nathan Wakefield, I am present. Louis Siradek.
Present.
Noel Yee.
Present.
Jared Davis. Veronique Prouvochet. Kyle Johnson. Afton Benson. Mike Sullivan.
Present.
Thank you, Mike. Ludo Fernandez. Martin Frost. And lastly, Warren Hammond. Okay. I was going to call Erin Stevens as well. She's usually here, so she's absent, at least for the time being. Let's move to the approval of the agenda. Would someone like to make a motion to approve the agenda?
Louis would like to make the motion.
Louis has made the motion. Do we have a second? I'm looking in your direction, Noel.
Maybe just a line for fun.
Hello?
Are you still there, Noel? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Would you like to second the approval of the agenda?
Yes, I'll second the agenda for tonight.
All right. Thank you, sir. Do we have any discussion regarding the agenda? This being the case. Possible discussion? Okay. That being the case, we move to a vote. Does anyone oppose the approval of this agenda tonight? Would anyone like to abstain? The agenda is approved. Moving on to the approval of minutes. Would someone like to make a motion to approve last month's board meeting's minutes?
I looked at them. Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
I will make the motion to approve last meeting's minutes.
Noel has made the motion. Do we have a second?
This is Louis. Second.
Thank you, Louis. Louis seconds the motion. Do we have any discussion regarding last month's minutes? We move to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of December 23rd's meeting minutes? Would anyone like to oppose or abstain? I'm sorry. Abstain. Do we have any abstentions? Minutes pass. Okay. Moving right along to reports. We are going to start out with festival planning with Mike Sullivan. He posted a document, which I linked here. I guess we can, I read it. If I don't know if anyone else did, but we can follow along if Mike would like to discuss it. Mike?
All right. Thank you, Nathan. Well, as I wrote to the board, I just recently returned from two site visits this month, Salt Lake City, Utah, and just this past weekend, Springfield, Massachusetts. Of all the 30-plus proposals and leads that we have for 2017, I feel very strongly that, without any doubt, Springfield has provided us by far the most superior offer, the most attractive features for our festival in 2017. They're just the right size city for us. They are in the northeastern corridor of the U.S., where we have not had a festival in, by the time we get there in 2017, 13 years. It's a growing city. They have a lot going on downtown. The facilities they have for us are excellent, first-class facilities. The safe, clean, compact, walkable downtown is ideal for our festival, and it's affordable to us. So I would urge the board to vote tonight to authorize me to proceed negotiations with Springfield towards a final contract. This is not approving Springfield 2017. This is telling me to go ahead and work on getting a final contract with Springfield that we can then approve at a later date for 2017. But I am 90% certain now that we will not receive any better offers, and that we should grab Springfield while we have the chance before they change their mind. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I think the rest of the details of what you should know before you vote tonight are in my report.
Okay.
This is Louie. Just a question about the – I think I understand, but just to clear up the hotel rates and the 1 to 25, 1 to 40 ratios, like it says it's $99 per night. Is that the price with comms or not comms?
Okay. What we mean when we say a 1 to 25 comp is that for every 25 room nights that are sold under the IJA's room block,
yeah.
Can someone quiet that dog, please?
All right, I got to mute. That's my house. I can't stop it.
Well, mute your phone then, Nathan. When the IJA, for every 25 room nights that the IJA sells, we earn one free room night to use for ourselves.
Okay.
And that means that we can provide housing for our VIP guests and our festival
Great.
Director and show director at very little or no cost.
Great.
We are anticipating selling over 1,000 hotel rooms. And with a 1 to 25 comp, that would mean that we would earn about 40 free nights, which is enough to house 6 to 10 people for our entire festival, or 6 to 10 rooms for our entire festival, which would be, you know, as many as 40 people for the entire week.
Great.
That's what the comp rates are about.
Okay, good. Thank you. I wasn't quite sure what that was exactly. I've
right.
seen that before.
Okay.
And then just the other night on the $99 price, is that about on average with other festivals?
Well, those rates are very, very attractive for those hotels. Those hotels
Great.
Normally sell rooms at $159 plus tax every day of the year and a lot higher most of the time. We just came from, we signed a contract with El Paso, Texas, where all three of our hotels will be at $99 a night. Now, those $99 rates were only offered to us because I insisted that we find hotels at $99 or below in order to get their in order for them to get our business. Believe me, if we didn't press really hard, none of these hotels would offer us rates anywhere close to that. And I'm still getting proposals from cities with hotels starting at $145 a night.
Wow. Oh, incredible. That's
yeah.
way up.
And so I
That's
call
so
them
good
back
job.
And I say, look, you're not going to hear from us unless you get realistic on hotel rates.
Yeah.
And so to have a beautiful Marriott hotel and a beautiful Sheraton hotel, full-service hotels, right across the street from the gym, right across the street from the theater, offer us a rate that's 60% less than their going rate, I think that is something we should take advantage of.
Right.
So you could put four jugglers in one of those rooms for $113.50 a night, and you'd be right in the middle of all the action. You know, that's, what, $28 per person or something to sleep in a Marriott hotel. So those are very, very good rates.
Yeah, thank you. I just didn't know the comparison, so hearing that reassures me. Just
yeah.
I don't want people to feel like, oh, I can't
right.
afford that.
Well,
just, I didn't know what those rates were in general, so thank you.
Right. Here's the other thing. We came from Rochester, Minnesota, where our lowest hotel rate was $118 plus tax, and we found that resulted in the lowest attendance of any festival in the last 10 years.
Oh.
So that's why we started to go back to college campuses. But then we ran into all kinds of hassles with college campuses. And so now I'm just really, really pressing hard to get our hotel rates back down, and this is the result.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that's a very compelling rate. So I just want to kind of emphasize, if we make a motion to authorize this, this isn't obligating us to this site. This is just saying that Mr. Sullivan can proceed forward with a proposal contract. Is that correct to communicate?
All you're doing is offering me to begin negotiations towards a final contract. And
now,
with the presumption that we will be able to negotiate that and then approve and sign that contract.
Okay. What is the time frame, like, if we were to make a motion to authorize it, how long before we'd have a contract draft, do you estimate, Mike?
Early next week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They are very eager to sign our business.
That is good turnaround. And I'd also like to point out that if we were able to sign it this quickly in advance, mm-hmm. this would put us way ahead of the game than we have been traditionally for a number of years.
Yes, that's right. It gives us a lot of breathing room, and it gives us a lot of negotiating leverage with our potential 2018 cities.
Mm-hmm. And you say none of the other sites are even close to this for 2017, Mike, is that correct?
In my opinion, that's right. I just came from Salt Lake City. It's a beautiful city, the city of 2 million people. They hosted the Olympics less than a decade ago, but everything is so big. The distances involved in walking are so huge.
Mm. Yeah. The
convention center is over a 500,000 square feet. We'd be lost in that town.
Wow.
Plus, of course, it's in the middle of Utah, which means nearly everyone would have to fly. So, you know, there's problems with every city, but I think Springfield has given us by far the most attractive offer I've seen in a couple of years.
Yeah, this is Noel. Give you my positive and negatives here. I think that it's probably a very, very great site. I'm guessing it's looking like, at first I was like, Missouri, but now I'm seeing Massachusetts, and that sounds like, holy cow, that's better. And I think some of the things I think about is I don't want to like confirm as a final venue, but I don't have problems personally with moving forward with this, but I would really like to get the feedback of the remainder of the board. Some benefits I see is that we're doing IJ in Quebec this year and then El Paso, and basically it'll be back in the Quebec area in 2 years. I mean, it's not nearby, but it's at least it's only like 6 to 4 hours away from Boston. In all that area. So I would guess that, like, some of the same people would come back. The only thing, I mean, I guess I like the venue, but I also want to have the remainder of the board have some level of decision or really have some information, which we have now, but to discuss this information at a future meeting before we fully go through, because that's my only concern. I mean, it looks like an awesome place. Huge Boston community, Albany, New York crew, a lot of people there. So I'm okay with that, but I just want to make sure that the board, to get their feelings on it before we finalize. But I don't have any problem with moving forward today. So.
Okay, thank you, Noel.
Excellent. Do we have any more discussion on the future festival planning report?
Hey, guys, this is Kyle. I just, sorry, I'm late.
Hey,
Kyle.
I don't want to interrupt. I'm in a library right now, so I can't really say much. I don't have internet at my house that I'm staying at. So, yeah.
Okay. We're glad you could join us, Kyle. We're just talking about the future festival planning today. Did you catch any of that?
Last minute or two, yeah.
We're talking a lot about Mike Sullivan's report recommending Springfield, Massachusetts. It looks like a very promising site, and it's highly recommended. So we're just kind of going through some of the finer points of that.
Okay.
Who do we have in that area that we would anticipate as potentially being festival participation committees in the area, Mike? Is that in the report?
No, but I would say the MIT Juggling Club would be a natural to tap for that, and plus a lot of the people from Pennsylvania are less than a day's drive, and there's a very big juggling community, as you know, in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seems good. I'm just curious because, like, when we chose El Paso, one thing that really helped was being like, well, hopefully we can rope Jim Maxwell into this.
Right.
Jim
is ready to sign up for that. He's just waiting for the time to be right to ask the board for that.
Okay. But I mean, the main thing is as we move forward to closer to finalizing, having a person or some ideas for who that person could be, because that was an issue that we ran into when we were in Bowling Green in particular.
Yeah. Well, you just got to look at the geography of the United States to realize that there are more of our members that live closer to Springfield than anywhere. You know, closer than Utah, closer than Cedar Rapids, Iowa, closer than El Paso. We've got hundreds of members in the northeastern United States.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's awesome. I mean, it also puts into my mind some strategy for the future, which would be beyond this, going back a distance, kind of like we did with El Paso. So, seems good. And I'm done.
Excellent. Do we have any more discussion? Okay. We'll move on to the AMS report, also with Mike Sullivan. Take it away, Mr. Sullivan.
Okay. Thank you again, Nathan. We're moving along. The pace is not as rapid as I would like, but probably would never be that pace. In any case, we've made some good progress since we last spoke, or I last updated the board. We have done some sample data imports from our membership database, and they are looking real good. We've set up all of our membership types. We've set up quite a few other administrative areas of the system. We have had our first design review with the template design that we've looked at, and I'm hoping that actually, on Thursday, we have another conference call with the with our consultant, our contact there, to finish up some things that we need to do to get our membership system actually up and online, ready to accept live data from us on the back end. And very shortly after that, I think we will be able to begin to involve the rest of our team members by having our menu system built and fleshed out, and then being able to start adding content pages. And that's when I'm going to involve the folks who have offered to step forward and help. I think that's Luco, John Lewis, possibly Martin Frost, myself, my wife, and I may be forgetting someone. The goal is still to be able to accept festival registration for Quebec City by April 1st. On this system. That's what I'm pressing them for. That's what I want to do. We will be able to use it for memberships, at least from a back-end perspective, probably within the next few weeks. And we'll begin the slow cutover once we begin putting pages up once the template is in place. So progress, more progress than we've seen to date, and I'm hopeful that the progress pace will continue and by next month, we'll have something that all of you will be able to look at least the beginnings of a fully fleshed out site that we'll be able to turn on very soon.
So this is Noel. Mike, you're aware of the, in the contract somewhere, Vero says that, like, the marketing for the Turbo organization just sort of needs to be clean. Like something with the design of the website. That was one of the things that she had mentioned in the initial contract, she said.
Yes, I'm aware of it.
So that's something that, like, they have little faith in us. But I'm like, it's going to be good, Vera. I don't think Mike's going to let it be crappy. But, like, in general, I just want to, like, make sure that prior to April 1st that we have a solid communication with her about just giving her a time to proof it before it goes up.
We can to have a good festival page information, you know, several pages of information on the news site, lots of festival registration available on the news site. Those are the priorities, obviously.
Okay.
And I have communicated that to the company, your membership, and I'm pressing them to make sure that we hit that.
Okay, that sounds awesome. I just wanted to just mention that because I was when we were discussing it, there's going to be we need to go over probably after your trip, go over some of the exact pricing one final time before we confirm all of it before you guys start doing. I'm sure changing prices isn't going to be a big deal, but the board's going to want to be a part of that process.
Well, it would help that process tremendously if the board would work with Vero to decide definitively all of the pricing for the festival, what the membership requirements are for people to attend, who is going to get comps, under what circumstances, and how many, and all of that kind of stuff. I'm not the person to decide on those things. I can give advice, but the board and Veronique need to make those decisions. And if we can get all those decisions done by the time I get back from vacation on February 21st, it would help me tremendously.
Okay. Very good point. I think that's something we can discuss. Okay. Is Vero's primary concern just the design be more contemporary? Is that her primary worry? Noel?
Well, yes. I think they're embarrassed, as we are embarrassed, by
right.
the way Juggle.org looks now.
Yes. Okay. Is there any more discussion on the AMS report? I guess that being the case, the board can kind of work and discuss offline about getting some of these pricing and membership things finalized, and hopefully we can get things moving and right along and kind of expedite the process a little bit.
Yeah. We really need to have those answers on who has to be a member and who doesn't have to be a member to attend this festival, because that is going to be an issue that will come up.
Sure. Okay. Sounds good. Any more discussion on AMS? All right. Thank you, Mike. Moving on to the 2015 IJ Festival reports. Did everyone get a chance to look that over?
Yep.
Okay, moving to discussion. It looks fairly similar to last month's reports.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like there's a whole lot of new things to report. I do like her idea of wanting to find quote-unquote secret act for the show. I think that's kind of cool. And, I do think we need to talk a little bit more about the marketing of it. Are you still able to access Facebook and all that, Kyle?
Okay.
Not regularly, no.
Not regularly? Okay.
Just by phone, so I can't really do much.
I just want to clarify, because obviously she doesn't necessarily need to work.
Okay. But Veronique, she has access to that, correct?
Okay, all right. So what I would do...
Okay, is somebody on another line? Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
But Vero does have access. Does she have access to the Facebook account, Kyle, do you know?
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so, okay. I feel...
I can make that happen, though.
Okay, I'm not necessarily suggesting she does, but I do think that we need to start promoting the festival more, especially in terms of special guests and some of the accommodations.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to proceed with that would be. Do you have any, as the marketing guy, do you have any advice?
Oh, no, so at the moment I'm going to be moving at the end of the
month. This is Noel. I think that Kyle can get together with the Turbo 418 marketing team. If he contacts Beth Hall, she'll send him the information for their marketing team to help collaborate on that front.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be really cool if you and Vero could kind of touch base and maybe get kind of a game plan together. Because, you know, we got to start turning the heat, especially as April 1st approaches, you know, really make it seem appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else?
They also kind of have a plan in place. So I think that Kyle, you should contact them soon.
All right.
Okay. Do we have any more discussion with the future festival? I'm sorry, the 2015 IJA Festival. We move to the YJA report as submitted by Ellen Winter. We have any discussion? So I'd like to ask Louis a little bit. It seems he's working with them. So you guys are working on relaunching the website and kind of rebranding. Is that correct, Louis?
Yes, but so far I've just done a rework of their current logo. Nothing too crazy. Kind of just took that and changed the letters on it and tweaked it out a little bit.
Great.
And then the website's coming along as far as I know on somebody else's end. I'm not quite sure where I'm sitting on that yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
get it over a little bit, but we haven't really touched base on what that is yet or anything.
Okay. Yeah, I very much encourage this because we've been YJ for quite some time, and unfortunately we still have, you know, the Yep logo everywhere and still have the Yep website. So it would definitely behoove us, I think, if we could kind of get that changeover done.
I'll try to dig with Ellen and figure out what needs to make that happen. I guess we'll need to buy another domain site, and then would that be something that if somebody did, we would again just send the receipt over to?
Dennis, the bookkeeper. I would.
Dennis, yes.
If it's an expense that's not in the operating budget and it's more than just something obvious, I would recommend getting a board approval first.
Okay, great.
Notable, that way it's, you know, fully recorded and communicated and everything is
great.
You know, it was a decision authorized by the board, so we're not just proceeding with expenses left and right. I think that would be optimal. But yeah, great work, and I'm looking forward to seeing where YJA goes.
Yeah, I think Ellen does pretty good at just keeping it chugging along nicely. People are asking her, and she's getting those buttons out there, and that's great.
Very nice. Okay, moving on to marketing. Do you have any tidbits for us, Kyle?
I don't really, because I asked Aaron to take over this month.
For the Facebook alone,
yes. And I've been busy. Things are crazy. So that's
okay.
It for right now, yeah.
Well, life happens, Kyle, I understand. Mm-hmm. Do you know ETA, when you'll be back online?
End of the month, moving into a spot with Wi-Fi.
Okay. All right, great. Well, that's not too far, so good on that front. Yeah, like I said, I think Aaron's very much on the same page, but I think a lot of this too falls on Vero to kind of promote the festival a little bit more online. So I think basically all of us need to have more of a coordinated effort, and I think we can kind of focus on things a little bit better.
I'll get in contact with her. I'll send her a message and prepare before the end of the month and then start when I have the internet.
Awesome, Cal. Much appreciated. Do we have any more discussion on the marketing front of IJA? Okay. Moving on to financial reports. Afton Benson is not present. She said she would try to get me a report, but I have not heard anything, so there's no new information on the financial side that we have to discuss at this moment. That being the case, we move to eJuggle report. Did anyone get a chance to read this?
No.
Okay, you can skim it if you want to. It's very brief.
I see.
It's kind of interesting because this is kind of like a recap of the year since, you know, last year ended. So it kind of, we've been around long enough as eJuggle that we have some data to compare to. So I think it's kind of interesting watching the number of articles. It looks like we're kind of right in the middle between our 3 years of existence in terms of number of articles. 161 compared to 149 in 2013 and 199 in 2012. And it looks like there's a lot of good things going on. The one thing I was going to pursue, and I talked to Scott a little bit about this, is we have a lot of content coming from America, obviously, and we also have, we're getting a lot of more kind of South American content and stuff from Mexico and whatnot, but we have a European representative. I was considering reaching out to this individual to see if he knows what that would be a good potential long-term contributor to eJuggle so we get more of a worldly view outside of, you know, just the American and Mexico and Chile side of things. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
It's the European rep, Rina, is it him?
Yes, that's correct.
If you can hook me his Facebook info, he's my Facebook friend. I just haven't spoken to him in a few years, but I can send him a message about it if you're looking for like content.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be good, too, if we had someone who was interested in possibly doing a long-term. I know it's a lot of people, but we could have kind of a long-term contact. I don't know if it's something he would be interested in, or if not, maybe he knows someone.
Yeah, I will just reach out to Ryanus, and if you just tell me who I put him in contact with next, like who is managing the e-juggle, isn't it?
Yeah, you would get in contact with Scott Setzler. I mean, he can come to me if he wants to, but it would probably be best if he went right to Scott Setzler. Do you have Scott contact?
Isn't there a South American representative running the e-juggle Tricks of the Month thing? Because that seems like stuff I could easily get him to potentially farm out.
Yeah, that's something we can talk about a little bit, too. I don't want to get too sidetracked, but regarding the Tricks of the Month, right now we have a gentleman by the name of... his name. Got it right here. Jorge Vilkis, I believe is his name. But the way it's operating right now is we've changed the Tricks of the Month instead of doing specific locations. We're not doing the whole flow this week, you'll say this week, you know, LA this week and Mexico this week. The goal is to have 3 videos a month now. He's coordinating 2 video releases a month we put on each juggle. I'm coordinating 1 video a month we put on each juggle. A lot of his are kind of from South America, so I do think it would be good if we could get some more European videos. I would definitely be willing, Noel, to mention that as well, not just written content, but if he knows anyone he could recruit for Tricks of the Month.
Well, there is definitely a possibility that I'll be going to EJC this year, and I reached out to help out with EJA this year. They kind of put out a big post needing help.
Okay.
Make sure that if we contact the EJA board, we might be, like, actually from us, we might be able to get some more effective communication going down, just as a thought.
Yeah, and I should also mention, too, I've reached out to a few people personally because I'm trying to get one person a month on my end. And I've got about, I think there's 7 people lined up, but I'm kind of at a loss right now. So if you guys know anyone that's a good criteria right now, what I'm looking for is I've been reaching out mainly to Americans and Canadians because those are where most of my connections are. I'm trying to find somebody who is high level of juggling. We have not already featured them previously on Tricks of the Month last year. And just would be interested in doing it. So, do you have any ideas?
Ryan Mellers and Yuki in Vancouver.
Oh, I'm familiar with Ryan. You think he'd do it?
If you ask him to do it by himself, he might be down. Or Yuki Ueda, who's his juggling partner now, they might be willing to do something together. And one additional option is to maybe ask Broncar and his Journey Through Rhythm, his new rhythmic beatboxing tap thing. Like he would be interested maybe in doing that. So
okay, we just actually had Broncar in December. He was highlighting Tricks of the Month.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it was a good video. He was outside in Miami doing some bounce juggling, so that was pretty cool. I was glad that he did that. But okay, yeah, maybe I'll reach out to Yuri and Mr. Mellers. I don't know if I have his contact information, but we can discuss this further offline. I don't want to get too sidetracked. Does anyone have any more information regarding e-juggle? Anything they want to discuss? Okay, moving on to membership. Updated numbers are posted. Do we have any discussion? Okay, moving on to IRC. Aaron Stevens told me that there was no development on that, so we do not have any reports for the IRC. This being the case, we're going to move directly to motions. Motions for consideration. A motion to approve the 2015 IJA operating budget. Will someone make this motion?
This is Kyle. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Kyle. Do we have a second?
This is Noel. I'll second the motion.
Holy cow. Noel's enthusiastic. Thank you, Noel. Okay, moving to a discussion.
Books are so weird, dude. They're like such a weird thing.
Yeah.
Such a weird thing. It's me, not on mute. I'm sorry. I'm in this car with a friend of mine.
All right. Thank you, Noel. So basically, the 2015 budget, it was modeled after the 2014 budget. I updated the numbers in it, obviously the operating cash and various accounts. I reached out to our bookkeeper who was able to supply us with that information. Much of the other expenses are relatively the same. I did up the IRC's projected budget to $1,500. That's allotting $500 to each one projecting, assuming there are three this year. That's up from last year, but still slightly below what the program director requested. I remember at the previous board meeting, we approved $500 instead of $700. So I reflected that in the numbers here. I also updated the bookkeeper expenses. That the actual number was actually slightly lower than the previous year's projection was. So 2014 was projected at $10,000 when it's actually $9,504, just a small little update. Most of the other numbers are reflective of the same. I have allotted $2,700 for each DVD editing, which is unfortunately going slow, but I'm hoping this year we can complete two DVDs. And that is pretty much that. Do we have any questions or discussion on this budget?
I think it's great we made $7.
Yes.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, well yeah. Done, business, non-for-profit. We profited.
Hey, this is just a budget. It's not saying, you know, this
is... I know, yeah.
Hopefully it'll be...
Great. I mean, obviously, that's how things want to look in the end. You want
right.
to make as much
yeah.
spend and have those other available caches are in there for futures or emergencies or things, whatever those things are sitting there for, like the IWE account and those other accounts for YJA and stuff that are already part of the budget, and that's great.
Yeah, and the one other thing I'd like to point out is I thought about expanding some of the budgets, like the marketing, et cetera, but I didn't. The way that's calculated, it would have then put us in a net loss, which we cannot. I did not want on a budget, and I think due to the fact that we have $500 allotted to other professional services and $1,000 to miscellaneous, I think that gives us some good wiggle room if something does come up. That we want to approve something with marketing or another program expense that gives us plenty of wiggle room to kind of play with throughout the year.
Great.
Cool. Does anyone have any more discussion on this? Then we move to a vote. Does anyone oppose the 2015 IJ operating budget? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes.
Great.
Moving on to motion B. This is a motion to approve the 2014 Festival Profit and Loss Statement. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Louis. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Louis. Do we have a second?
This is Noel. I second, and I was really happy with how the festival turned out in the long run. Much congrats to Mike and Pyrus. Yes, I second it.
All right. Thank you, Noel, for that endorsement. Moving on to discussion, I would like to second Noel. I know going into the festival, we were projected to not have a substantial income, and my understanding is that we sold a lot more on-site than projected, and I think as a whole, the way this budget worked out in the festival is it came out really good. So I'm pleased to see that bottom line there reflected as high as it is. I'm also happy that we were finally able to get this. It was a little bit of a quest to get some of those numbers tracked down from the university and going back and forth with Dennis trying to obtain some of the stuff that was ambiguous. But we finally have a P&L statement 100% done and posted. So does anyone have any further discussion? In the case we're making a, in the case we move to a vote, this will be posted on our website on the financial statement, on the financial side of things. So motion to approve the 2014 Festival Profit and Loss Statement. Does anyone oppose this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. Great. Now, before we move on, does anyone have any other motions that they would like to make? This is Nathan. I would like to make a motion. I would like to make a motion to authorize Mike Sullivan to move ahead with a final proposal and contract draft for Springfield, Massachusetts as the 2017 possible IJA festival site.
This is Noel, and I would like to second that motion.
Thank you, Noel. Give Louis just a moment to catch up. Thanks again for taking notes, Louis.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was myself making the motion, and Noel seconded. So do we have any more discussion? We already spoke about this quite a bit earlier, but is there any further discussion? Okay, I think everything's fairly well communicated, so we're going to move to a vote. Does anyone oppose this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. I will
thank you, everybody. I'll be on
the phone. Yeah, man, it's exciting. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you all. I'll be on the phone with Springfield tomorrow, and I'm sure they will be thrilled beyond words. The mayor himself will want to hear that we're coming. He was very excited by the prospect of bringing the jugglers.
Wow, that's publicity.
Great.
Sounds good, Mike. Thanks for pursuing this.
Thank you all.
Great. Okay. Would anyone like to make any further motions?
Martin.
Okay. Now we are moving on to Beria. A few items to discuss.
Hey, Nathan, this is Noel. I have to go, actually. I hope that's okay. I was with
Noel. We've made it through the motions, and we just are going to pick up on a few talking points here, so I appreciate you sticking around, and thank you.
Thank you.
All right, take
care.
Noel. Bye.
All right, moving on to Varia, just a few items I kind of wanted to discuss here. We're going to start out with the anonymous donor situation. I guess, is everyone familiar with what's going on with this? I can give a little bit of a recap if that would be ideal. Yeah, I know there's been a lot of...
Would be good.
Recap, okay. Yeah, I know, Kyle, you've been offline a lot, so...
Thank you.
Okay. Trying to consolidate this as much as I can. If anyone wants to chime in, if I've neglected to mention anything, feel free to do so. But essentially, we've had a donor by the name of Iwi for a few years now, and they've been putting money into a long-term savings account, and for a few years they were also putting a substantial amount of money towards the festival to enhance its value and this ultimately evolved into what was called the Fun Fund, which was basically using this money to fund things that were just recreational for the festival, not operational, just strictly additional things to make it more entertaining. The Fun Fund was discontinued after 2013, per the donors' wishes. And so as a result, in 2014, we did not have a Fun Fund or anything of that nature. A few months ago, we received word that another one of our anonymous donors, this one that goes by the name of Una Med, is interested in possibly bringing back the Fun Fund. This donor recommended a price matching system, that being that they put in a lump sum and then would match any additional donations from members that wanted to chip in towards the festival. And so that's something we were discussing for a while. Una Med is very much more laid back than Iwi in terms of the spending, and a lot more communicative as well. Initially, I was going to try to avoid having a committee for that, given the price matching structure and the loose nature of it. I was just going to leave that up to the spending, up to the discretion of the festival director, with a possible final approval from the board. But UNAMED is very adamant about feeling that there should be long-term people involved with this, as this person feels that they want to continue to donate towards the festival in the future, and they want to have people continuing on that were involved with it in previous years. So essentially, we'll probably need to form a committee to accommodate this effectively. Around the same time, UNAMED also expressed interest in possibly donating towards a separate cause with the festival that would result in increasing the prize money. I made a post about this, and it's interesting because it would not just be a relative increase, it also changes the allotment structure, in that there's a lot more allotted towards first place than second and third. It's basically a restructuring of the system in addition to having prize money. So that's something that should be considered. And in an interesting turn of events, our original Fun Fund donor, Iwi, recently reached out to us and sent us a note and gave us a substantial amount of money and implied that they were interested in once again funding towards the festival this year. Didn't really go into details, but basically said that, and that was also reflective in the check number that they gave us for a deposit. I sent a message to Iwi introducing myself and asking for additional details if they wanted to fund the Fun Fund, or not, I didn't say the Fun Fund specifically, but if they wanted anything allotted towards the festival. And so this is kind of where we are now, as I'm kind of waiting to see if Iwi gets back to us and seeing if we want to pursue something with Una Med as well. We do want to avoid having two Fun Funds or lumping the Fun Funds together. I don't think that would make either of the donors happy. And there were some suggestions, Martin and I believe a couple other people suggested creating two separate accounts and giving Una's its own name with like a price matching name, such as the Una Match Fund or something along those lines, and then seeing if Iwi wants to go towards a specific account and then kind of going from there. So right now we're kind of juggling communication and trying to find what would be optimal for this, but it's something we should ideally have resolved soon, especially if we're going to have to form a committee or possibly two, hopefully not, and then proceed to promote things like the increased prize money. That is a prospective option. So that's kind of where we are now. Does anyone have anything they'd like to add or thoughts on this general situation? Cricket.
I think keep going along in that endeavor, right? Like poking at them. Obviously, some people, they want to give their money, they want it done a certain way. You
right.
can't really be like, well, we're not going to take your money then. We don't want to deal with the hassle. Like, part of it is dealing with the hassle and, like, figuring out what they want specifically. But getting stuff in writing, and even if it changes year to year, having something in writing so they don't get upset and leave or something is important, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of interesting because that's kind of what happened with EWE in the past. We formed committees and went through a lot of effort to make sure the fund fought well, but unfortunately, the donor was not pleased, and ultimately, that's why they decided to discontinue it after 2013. And so this other donor, Unamed, seems a lot more, like I said, communicative. This person responds to my emails and is a lot more laid back with how it's allotted. So it's just a matter of trying to make sure everyone is satisfied with what ultimately happens. Right now, I'm kind of waiting just a little bit to see if we hear back from EWE, because I don't want to put a lot of plans in place with UNAMED. EWE has something that they want to do. Ideally, I'd like to kind of split them and have everything well communicated before things are officially announced. But the downside of that is, you know, the festival is less than, 6 months away, so we would need to get going on this, not just for operational purposes, but for promotional purposes as well. So it's kind of a standoff right now.
Yeah, you don't want to give away the fun to UNAMED and then have IWE come in and be like, oh, I thought I was going to get that back again, so nothing from me anymore, or something like that.
Yeah. So I'm thinking right now I'm going to wait just a little while to see if I get a response from EWE. You should also note, too, that we're communicating with EWE through a third party. I have no direct communication with this individual.
Yes, yeah.
And if I don't hear back from something soon, I'm going to try to approach UNAMED about shifting them in a direction that would leave us open to an EWE fund if EWE decided that they did want to proceed with that. But also, I'm not going to try to create something so specific just to create room for something that's purely hypothetical at this point.
Yes, and if UNAMED is a little more laid back and can be told, hey, here's what we're waiting on in this situation, let's figure out, like, if that person you think could be communicated it with in that way, where it's like, here's where we're at with this, understand the situation, how can we get you going in your situation and kind of leave that still open for this other possibility, like.
Right.
Like, if one can be, I always sound like going through the multiple layers and maybe a little more touchy. I have no idea, honestly. I don't know who it is, or I don't know the actual words used or anything, but it seems a little more touchy to a little more laid back. One informed about what's up.
Yeah, I will say EWE has been a lot more vocal about displeasure as well as being more difficult to communicate with. I'm hoping we can kind of improve that this year and.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically my plan right now. Wait just a little while on EWE. If I don't hear anything, then I will try to talk to UNAMED about maybe having a more specific account in the event that something opens up for EWE. And I'm hoping to have either a new structuring of the prize money and or a committee in place for approval by the next board meeting, because this is something we need to get going on. I guess, is there any more thoughts on this? Well, like they say, it is what it is. Moving on to marketing discussion. I realize we talked about marketing in a report earlier. I just kind of want to touch on a few things. Kyle's not here on board. Is Kyle, are you still here?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, great. I wanted to talk a bit about possible marketing goals for 2015.
Okay.
I wanted to see if anyone had thoughts on that. I had a few ideas of my own I kind of wanted to discuss. I know we've been doing the Facebook thing, which is very good. We've gotten a lot of likes. I wanted to hear people's thoughts about reaching out on additional social media avenues. I'll give you a few examples. Reddit is getting a lot of momentum. They have Reddit juggling. People post a lot of videos on there, and it's, in my opinion, it's kind of replaced rec.juggling, because rec.juggling, unfortunately, it lost a lot of its post number and viewership once the internet juggling database went down. So Reddit is kind of the place to post for juggling news and videos and just cool things with juggling right now. And another thing is the Juggling Edge is another website. I'm sure some of you are familiar with that. It's kind of a database for events and whatnot. And they even have a small forum on there. It has like a small talk section where people post news and thoughts on juggling, just, you know, your standard forum. And an interesting note with the Juggling Edge, I actually reached out to them a couple months ago just to update a local juggling club that I meet at. And they responded with information about how to do that. And I'm assuming they recognized my name because then they said something like, so, hey, how come we don't see IJ posts on the small talk section? When are we going to start seeing some IJ news on there? And I was like, you know what? That's a good point. I just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about if anyone had any thoughts or even a plan of action about posting IJA content on some of these additional social media platforms.
Well, the last time I checked, it was like semi-private, wasn't it?
Which
like
one?
Full Juggling Edge. Wasn't that like a semi-private forum?
I read the post without signing in.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of just some aspect of it. But before, it was like, invitation only or something.
Was it? Well, that being the case, I think that they, I'm speculating here, but I think there's a good chance if, you said, a formal IJA news outlet wanted to, you know, have an account, they might not protest that.
Sure. Yeah.
And
I will write that down.
Okay. Yeah, and I did, if you look in the password database on our Google Drive, last year I actually did create a Reddit account for IJA. I haven't done anything with it, but that account does exist. So if you're thinking about doing Reddit, don't create an account. Just use the one that was already created. The login information is in the password section.
All right.
But I kind of want to discuss if either of these were something we wanted to explore, and if so, the best approach to do it, so it's not just whimsically posting things, but some sort of a structured idea behind it, I guess.
Is it something where we have one person or multiple people? Is it? I mean, would somebody be one person be overwhelmed with like, oh, I came up with a little nugget, now I have to go post it five different places, or I have to check a Twitter feed and a Reddit feed and a.
Sure, sure.
It might be overwhelming, but if we had one guy who was kind of the commander and it's like, here's kind of our talking points for the month or something, maybe, or some things to hit on, and then had a couple of lieutenants who could each hit their individual medias with that information and whatever voice they have with that.
That's a very good point, and that's something I wanted to discuss. My initial thought was we could have someone delegated to these, and then we could have a criteria for what content we're posting. Obviously, we don't want to overwhelm these things or just, you know, post whatever. But I was thinking every time we had like an exclusive video coming out, we could maybe hype that up on there or post that on there to get more buzz and also potentially create more interest in the membership. And also potentially some of our tricks of the month. Most of those I notice do get posted on there by other people, but it might be cool too if the IJA or to either beat them to the punch just to show that the IJA is taking initiative, or if it gets overlooked, the IJA could post that to go on there. Then also other things such as festival registration opening up and any other like quality content. Like I know the Don Holtzman, have you listened to his podcast on eJuggle? Drop Everything?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of good ones coming out, and he's featuring a lot of really good guests. And I've seen some feedback. A lot of people aren't aware that they're happening, or when one are posted, they'll be like, whoa, that's interesting. I wasn't aware of that. So maybe every time there's like a featured content on eJuggle, it might be worth posting on there. Do you think that's a good criteria? What do people think?
So it is a lot of work to do that kind of stuff, to do that on like six different platforms or seven different platforms. Like just doing that with Facebook is tough because the days and the times they come out, everything comes out at random times. So it's difficult. But I think it's a great idea.
I've
thought about it a lot, but it's just, it's a lot of work.
Okay.
Like the general and like
general
that do different forums.
Okay. We could allow.
We might have to reach out to some members to be like, find out who uses them or troll a couple of those places, not troll them, but go lurk them a little bit to be like, hey, who do we know from the IJA that is on that Reddit platform or on Twitter or something? Like, we might know somebody in our ranks who is already there and wouldn't mind being there with our voice every once in a while or something.
That's sure, good. Sure.
Even reaching out in the newsletter maybe or through Facebook, be like, hey, who on here is also on Reddit that would be interested in? And again, like having them come up with all the thing to say might be too much, but if we do have like that featured content, there's that balance too. Do you want to oversaturate it, or do we do like a rotating content schedule where you're talking about it on Reddit one month and then you're talking about it on Twitter and next? Like, I have no idea what the real moves are, what a company would tell us to do.
I think the best way to go about it would probably be like have a post and then send it out to these different people, and then they each post on that platform.
Great, yeah.
I think that's.
I agree.
Cool.
That's great. Yeah, I'll think about that more.
Okay. Yeah, we can discuss this more on Facebook when. And this is obviously not time sensitive, but it might be good to kind of get a plan in place before too far into the year. So those are just some ideas. Does anyone have any other marketing ideas? This is open discussion, so don't feel free to restrict it.
Like, we don't do direct mailers. I don't, like, we're not going to do anything like that. Print, like, we're such an online thing. I can't think of other places where we would show up with, like, advertising. Like, do we buy ads somewhere? Is that just a waste of money? Would it increase our memberships? Or, like, I don't know where else should be heard.
Yeah, that's a good thing, Louie. I'm glad you mentioned that, because kind of backtracking a little bit, but that does kind of get me thinking, too, about – I talked to Kyle a little bit, too, about potentially sponsoring posts on Facebook to expand the reach.
Yeah.
You did that last year once or twice, Kyle. Is that correct?
Yeah, just once or twice, but it wasn't. I think it was for what was it? The raffle. We had the membership drive. I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it. I don't know how much it helped or anything. But I think that was it, really.
How much money did you put towards it?
$20, or no, that was for something else. I think it was 20 or 40, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we have some money written into the operating budget for marketing. I personally think it would be a good idea to have a quarterly allotment for Facebook, and then we could sponsor certain posts. Things off the top of my head that I think would be good to promote is a festival. Put a sponsored post around the time registration opens, then have a link to the page or however that works. I think it would be a good idea to have eJuggle and a sponsored post at one point, especially if we have some pending big content coming to get interest in that. I think a lot of jugglers aren't familiar with a lot of the regular content on there, and there's a lot of good things going on. And then also I think that, for instance, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, maybe just like if we did a membership drive like Kyle did previously, a membership post just kind of talking about the IJA and how that operates, benefits of a membership and whatnot.
Right.
It was pretty productive.
Good. That's awesome, right? Like, because if you're a juggler and you're looking around and you see something – over on the edge that's juggling, you might click on it. That's what the hope is, right? Like, and then we get the more eyeballs onto our content, and then they're like, oh, I like this whole organization. How do I get involved?
Yeah, totally. So maybe in like late March or early April, would you be interested in putting out another sponsored post for the festival, Kyle?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and let us know what you think would be best, and I think that would be beneficial. Or even if you want to put out another one before then, let us know about the IJA or eJuggler, or if there's a certain aspect you'd like to promote. I know you have a better pulse on that than I do working in the marketing side of the IJA. So, yeah, as long as it's within the budget outlined, and I think that'd be a good thing.
Cool.
Totally. And last I should mention, Louie, he went out and had flyers made up, so good job, Louie, and those should be coming to my place soon. If you guys want any, let me know. I'll mail some out to you. These are the postcards for the festival.
Great.
Good. I hope they're used well. I got 500. We'll see if we need more. Usually I can get discount coupon codes with, like, Vistaprint. I sign up on their email list, so that helps out here and there.
Excellent. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Any more talk marketing? Okay, moving
on. Would we ever advertise in, like, the Clown World magazine, or, like, are there any other industry things where it would pay to advertise, or is, like, our only hope social media? Like, I don't want it to think that it is, but it might be. I just don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. In my time on, we haven't really done any print ads other than the one we authorized recently for Circus Harmony.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to it, but some of that print ad stuff can be a little more pricey.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't know if it's something I feel we should invest a lot of money in for the print side of things. But if you guys are interested and you can get any quotes, I think that's absolutely something the board can look at.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to figure out where else, like, is it people on street corners holding bulletin board signs? Like, just where else are the jugglers? Juggling clubs is the biggest thing. Like, trying to have every member of every juggling club in America be a member of the IJA. Just at least one person there, like, being for us. Be like, hey, yeah, this, I'm involved in this bigger group than here or something.
Well, we do have an affiliates program that's kind of, like, not active at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's something we want to kind of reinvigorate, that can be a very good way to increase our membership as well as get some regional awareness at different festivals. That's, I believe, Jim Maxwell is the one who was currently in charge of that.
Okay, yeah, maybe I'll just poke an email and see, like, what sort of promotional materials or what's worked in the past or anything.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about redoing the affiliates program this year, but we were kind of going through the website overhaul, and that kind of got put on the back burner, but I personally think the affiliates program would be a very strong tool to have.
Great. Blah, 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 blah.
Right on.
Okay, cool.
All right, any other talk about marketing? Moving on, I just wanted to talk briefly about forms and policy implementation. We're kind of in a interesting point right now where we're gearing up for the festival and whatnot. Apparently, we've never really had a requirement for competitors for the stage competitions to submit formal forms. They just kind of filled out set emails and stuff. You guys think it would be beneficial to centralize all their information onto central forms, have that submitted to look more official, professional, and consolidated?
Like what? What exactly are you talking about? Like a Google form or something like that, or what?
Google form is what one of the stage competition directors suggested. Is basically put in, you know, your name, your information, a link to your YouTube video, your music information, checking a box saying you acknowledge all this stuff, and then just hitting submit or whatever, as opposed to email your information here and then email this here and then having record it out and having the form not go anywhere, because we really don't have any archive that the directors can access.
Yeah, the Google documents would be, like, way more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be a way better way to do it.
That's what I was thinking, too, and that's kind of the direction that the directors have been going on. So you think that would be beneficial, Kyle?
Well, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well,
one comment. For the last few years at least, people have been paying their registration fee mostly through the store online. So we have those purchases that just gives them an order number, and then they supply that order number to the championships director to show that they've paid.
Oh, okay. So do you think it would be best first that
we
have
director a list of people, I guess, too. Anyway, that's the one online thing that people have been doing, and we still need to be able to collect that money, and probably that's the easiest way to continue to do it.
They could enter that. They could enter that code in the Google Doc in a spot on there. So that'd be cool. Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, make a point to put that in the. Oh, I see you're putting that in the notes now. Yeah, that I think that's something to keep in mind if we do proceed with the forums. A couple other items on the forums is I'm working with Vivica and a few other people to get the music policy put in there in the most logical way. We've hit a few unfortunate snags with that. I'm sure most of you probably saw Chase's email recently. Did you see that? Chase Martin sent out an email? It's kind of unfortunate. Basically, the music policy was changed late last year. It was put online. I mentioned it in a few articles, and I guess we've had a few bits of negative feedback on that, and one possible competitor messaged us recently saying that he had been working on this routine for like a year and a half to this one specific song, and then he was getting ready to finalize it, and then he just saw this, and he's very unhappy, at least. So he wants to know if we can hold off till next year or if there's a way he can get around it, and he wants to know when and why this was put in place, where it was announced, et cetera. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. And if you have any ideas to, smooth things over, or if we want to talk about ways to implement it. Another issue, too, stage championships directors, they are not interested in implementing the form policies. They will collect the forms for the championships, but they will not verify the data. So it's kind of falling onto whomever is willing to do that at this point. But I just kind of wanted to put those situations out there, and if anyone had anything they'd like to contribute to the discussion.
I sympathize with Chase, he's got to either redo his entire I assume his routine is choreographed to the music. It's not just background music, which is why he's got this problem. But he didn't say anything specific. Did he tell you any more, Nathan, than what we saw in the general message? Like what music it is or if it is copyrighted? I mean, he didn't say anything. He just said, I don't like the music.
He didn't say anything about that, but I do know that apparently his girlfriend, I was told it was his girlfriend, also made a post to our Facebook page, which I believe Veronique is responding to, but I do not have access to that right now, so I didn't see that. There are a few interesting things the way he worded his email. He didn't, like you said, he didn't mention the message, and like you said, I can sympathize with him as well, but it's kind of interesting to say. He says something in here about, let's see, where was it? Competitors investing months to prepare for a competition that apparently no longer exists. I was a little confused by that portion of it.
Well, he just means that, the competition where you could enter with any music is gone. Now there's a different competition where you have to use, generic music. So that's
right.
What we're talking about. We did away with the competition that he could enter. Now he can't enter with his routine.
Right.
So, yep. And so you might want to consider delaying the implementation for one more year so that people entering in 2016 would have, a full year or year and a half advance notice. It's probably a little unusual for him to have been working on this for a full year now, but a lot of other people have routines, and, I don't know how much time most people put in and how much they depend on their routine choreographed, being choreographed to the exact music. many people might just be able to substitute music. But if it's choreographed, that's a problem. You have to start over.
Sure, sure.
So
yeah.
Do you want to consider delaying the implementation for a year? I think that's something to think about.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. My only concern is if we're always going to have someone saying that, oh, this shouldn't be this way, or I was unaware of this. And
well, it's okay. I understand that the rule has only changed recently, so it's not surprising that he didn't know about it until recently. Just when the rule, we haven't even gotten around to, have we even mentioned it in the newsletter yet? I don't remember. But once we do confirm that we're going to do it for this year or next year or whatever, we'll get it out, very carefully to all the media, which is the newsletter and the e-juggle or whatever, and then hopefully everybody will know about it. Since the newsletter goes to everybody by email, in the email it will say at the beginning, you can't use copyrighted music anymore unless you own the copyright. So I think for next year, for instance, this is enough warning, enough time in advance. There may be people who will complain, yes, they don't want to have to go find, they want to use some good music, not some bad music, as they might say, but that'll happen, and you just have to decide whether you're willing to put up with that because it requires a lot of editing after the fact, or silencing. You could just say, okay, it's going to be silent otherwise. So.
Yeah, is there anything in our current policy? Could somebody opt out, like, hey, I'm going to use this music. It's covered under our ASCAP performance license, but I choose to have my video silent if it's ever in the thing. Like, is there some sort of form of that we could do, like a middle ground?
Yeah, our previous policy pretty much like that, and the only issue we found was that pretty much no one used anything but copyrighted music, and so
everybody just took the exception instead of
which I mean, that's fine, obviously it was within the rules, but it kind of defeats the purpose of pushing people in that direction when it's going to have no real effect.
Exactly.
I mean, most people want to do perform the thing and have a good a good response from the audience. They're not performing for the video. They're performing for the live audience. That's what they're keying their music to. And the ASCAP license only covers, of course, the live audience.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, that's a very good point. So I guess we're in a position now where we should consider if we want to delay this until next year or if we want to make a change. This is something to think about. We can discuss this a little bit more offline, and then at the next board meeting, if we want to take action, that's an option too. Does anyone have any thoughts on this?
When was this music policy passed? I don't remember myself. Was it the last month?
November.
Maybe 2 months ago.
November? Have we published it in the newsletter?
I think we have.
Okay.
I mentioned it.
I don't keep track of these things.
Yeah. I mentioned it.
Do I write it?
If we published it, then
we would probably want to, if it kind of changed, we would want to, it'd be nice to get that info out there this month in the newsletter.
Right.
Again, just to give people the most warning, even though this is a more lenient rule, people might be pissed off because, I just changed it. Okay. But if the board wants to change it, I would suggest that you at least take a straw poll and very soon, probably you don't want to vote at it this meeting, but take a straw poll and if necessary have a real quick meeting or something and just pass it if you want to change it, if you want to delay it next year, so that we can get the information out this month in the newsletter.
Okay.
If you don't want to change it, then...
How many people are upset by it? Like, do we change it because two people are upset by it, or do we need five people to be upset by it and write in? It's just one of the things, like you said, it's that slippery slope. Like, if we keep pushing it back and never change it, do we just get rid of the video thing? Or, where does that leave us
If it's just so people can perform and do these competitions and we don't want the record of it and never want to sell the thing, maybe we let it go. But we kind of were changing it for that reason, so we can have the videos, we can have the archival stuff, we can show it on YouTube, things like that.
Right. To answer your question, there was Chase's email, then there was another competitor who was very upset. He made a Facebook post, and it wasn't entirely accurate. He was not happy. So I guess this is something we should probably kind of incubate in our minds, and then we can discuss this offline. And if you want to send out a straw poll vote to play that, this can be done, or if there is another idea anyone wants to explore, I'm receptive to whatever. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to discuss regarding this? I'd be interested, too, in getting more people's feedback, especially some of the board members that couldn't join us tonight. Okay. I guess, does anyone else have any discussion points for tonight? One thing I would like to add, we don't necessarily have to discuss this in length tonight, but I do think Mike had a very good point, and we should discuss regarding the festival registration, who needs to be a member, who doesn't, and the different tiers and whatnot. I will say this. I spoke with our insurance provider on the phone last week, and they said that you do not have to be a member of the organization for us to cover your event, and that's kind of contrary to what has been said in the past. So that's food for thought. Okay, and I guess we want to make a plan to kind of discuss this further. Do we want to discuss this offline on the forums or something about membership options and tiers and whatnot and get that done in the next few weeks? Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Sure. Yes.
Okay. And I'm sure Noel will probably have some good feedback, too, working so closely with Veronique and Mike on the membership or the registration side of things too. So good, good. Any other discussion tonight? All right, guys, let's move on to setting February's meeting times. Vision planning meeting, if we did 2 weeks from today, that would put us at February 3rd, or we could do 3 weeks and do the 10th. For board meeting times, the options are the 17th and the 24th. Mike did tell me that he is not available the 17th, so if we want to talk to him about if he was able to present us with a contract for the festival for 2017, or if he has any AMS reports, he would not be able to join us on the 17th. So for the first meeting, the vision planning, does the 3rd or the 10th work better for anyone?
For Louie, it works better on the 10th.
The 10th? Okay. What about you, Kyle?
I am free all Tuesdays.
Free all Tuesdays. All right. Let's go the 10th then. Now, if we go the 10th, logically speaking, I think it would make most sense to then meet 2 weeks later as opposed to the following week for the 24th. Does that work for everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll set on the 24th. All right, guys. Got you out a little earlier tonight. Motion to adjourn. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Kyle. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Kyle. Does anyone have any discussion? We move to a vote. Does anyone oppose adjournment? And do we have any abstentions? Meeting is adjourned at 8:04 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
Bye. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.